You know, it's just, it's so much just what we've been taught to do, what we've been conditioned to do, and what is the social norm. And mm-hmm. so you really have to step outside of that. And that it takes strength to do that. You know, it takes, you have to really kind of put yourself out there to do that. And so, like, just, you know, be comfortable with kind of going against the grain. We, our culture values individuality. We say, like, you know, don't just, like, follow the herd. Like, would you jump off a cliff just because everyone else is? And this really, going vegan really epitomizes that. Mm. We're really doing, we're just aligning our actions with the values that we already have. It's not vegan values. It's just human values to avoid harm. And so it's just really just kind of like reversing to, hey, if I could start over, would I really be hurting others even though I don't have to? Mm. And the answer is probably no.
Welcome to the Eat Green, Make Green podcast. I'm your host, Pat McCauley. This podcast is all about celebrating the lives of those who have adopted a plant-based or vegan lifestyle and how it has positively impacted their health, relationships, outlook on life, and so much more. For more episodes and information about the benefits of living a plant-based or vegan lifestyle, visit eatgreenmakegreen.com. Welcome back, everybody. On this week's episode, I sit down with the dynamic duo behind the popular online brand Eat Plants, Drink Beer. They have a really popular Instagram, blog, Facebook page where they post all kinds of cool stuff along the lines of plant-based food and beer, just as it sounds. They are Craig and Lorelei Plotzik. I hope I'm saying that right, guys. I'm sorry if I'm not to Craig and Lorelei. I didn't ask you how to pronounce that. But Plotzik, Craig and Lorelei Plotzik, I believe. So I've been following them for a while on Instagram, and I do keep somewhat up to date on their blog as well, because they share two very similar passions to me, plants and beer. So we talk about how they met, when Craig and Lorelei met, that Craig was definitely not vegan at the time, and how with a little help from Lorelei, he literally went from, you know, being the type of guy who roasts a full pig in the backyard with some beer to a full-on vegan within a matter of months. Why Craig found going vegan so damn easy, how it changed both of their relationships with food and opened them up to all kinds of new types of cuisine, why it's hard to admit when we're wrong, and why vegan values are simply just human values. I can't say enough good things about this episode. Craig and Lorelei are just awesome, just down to earth, really just great people. They welcomed me into their home. Craig had made some borscht soup, which I had never had before. Amazing soup. He's clearly an unbelievable cook. Definitely follow Eat Plants, Drink Beer for some of his recipes. And also, you know, poured me a couple of his home brews that he had sitting in the basement. And I enjoyed every one I had. So it was fantastic. And we even topped that off with some vegan cookies that were actually in the shape of animals. So a little humor there. This is just a really fun one. Informative conversation, and I just really enjoyed it, and I know I'll certainly keep in touch with Craig and Lorelei because just amazing people. So I hope you guys get something good out of this one. So without further ado, Craig and Lorelei. All right, I am out in Western Mass, Southwestern Mass, I think, technically.
Central.
Is it South Central? Yeah. Okay. It's
a long state.
We're out in Uxbridge, Mass. So kind of south, slightly east of Worcester. Mm-hmm. South of Worcester, we're kind of in between Providence and Worcester.
Right on the border of Rhode Island and Mass.
Yep, gotcha. So I am with Craig and Lorelei. And thanks very much for having me into the house. And we just ate a fantastic, what was the soup?
I guess it was a borscht with a little bit of farro in there to add a little bit of body.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right color.
There are golden beets instead of red beets. It's all right. Still tasty. It's
still delicious. Delicious soup, and we're drinking some of Craig's homebrew here as well, which is, you want to explain what you made here quick?
It's a simple Vienna lager, light drinking, malty German beer that's great in the fall and the winter time. You can have like three or four while you're watching a game and be fine the next day.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we actually scheduled this right during the Patriots game. I don't know if,
if
you guys care about that, but
I'm from Minnesota. I'm just waiting for them to get news of the Vikings lost today.
Lost. Yeah. Cool. So let's take it back with both of you, maybe one at a time. Kind of tell your background story, where you guys grew up, life like growing up. Maybe mix in a little food growing up and lifestyle growing up, and kind of how you guys ended up meeting. We'll kind of merge there.
Okay.
But fire away.
You want to start?
I'm going to say start with you. Your story is way better than mine.
Okay, so kind of like how I went vegan too?
Just life growing up first, and then we'll get into all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm originally from Massachusetts. Near where you grew up, in Auburn, Mass, and Sutton, Mass, actually. Then I went to Emerson College in Boston, studied mm-hmm. film and television, ended up doing an internship program out in L.A., worked in the television industry as a segment producer for several years, toured as a bassist in an indie band called Film School, and we toured the U.S. and the U.K. It was a lot
of
fun. Yeah.
No kidding. Cool.
It's a lot of fun. And then I ended up transitioning. I moved to San Diego and transitioned to content marketing. Met Craig here, now my husband, and in San Diego we met. I dragged him back here to Massachusetts. We bought this house. Mm-hmm. And here we are today. I still work in marketing, doing office managing. And
so, big family, small family growing up?
Small family. I have a sister and, my parents. But lots of extended family.
Yeah.
Everyone's scattered now, which is kind of a bummer. But I always thought when I moved back here, I'd be like, oh, I'll follow this family now. Everyone's all scattered.
And kind of, there wasn't any, parents were vegetarian or anything growing up. It was...
Definitely not.
Yeah, it was meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Like, American chop suey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a staple in my family.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
pizza, fish and chips. But those kinds of foods.
The usual, yeah.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we had that was vegetarian was like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, by accident.
Just by, I remember that my dad's half-brother was vegetarian.
Okay.
It was the first vegetarian I'd ever been exposed to, or, the concept of vegetarianism. And he was, he was like an eccentric guy, he was a really smart guy though.
Yeah.
He's since passed away. But I remember we went to an Indian restaurant in Worcester that's now long gone. But it was kind of okay, we're going to go to this vegetarian restaurant that Uncle Steve wants us to go to. And it was this huge deal.
Yeah.
We're all oh my God, what are we going to eat? And I remember I actually felt sick after I ate it.
Yeah.
And that was from then on, I was vegetarian food is it makes you sick. It's
totally.
Not good.
Yeah.
And now I know it's because I was eating foods that I wasn't used to at all.
Yeah.
Fiber.
Yeah.
My body got some fiber, different spices.
Yeah, what's going on?
That.
I'm getting the nutrients I need. What's going on?
Yeah. So yeah, there's a picture of me lying down on the seat, feeling sick. So ridiculous.
So you end up in San Diego, and then before we kind of get into how you guys met, Craig, you want to tell your side?
Yeah, so I grew up in Minnesota, central Minnesota, in a small town, a couple thousand people. I didn't meet a vegetarian until I went off to college in Minneapolis. So growing up, it was, like I said, meat and potatoes, or take a can of cream soup, condensed soup, mix it with some frozen vegetables, throw in you know, ground beef, put some tater tots on top of it, put it in the oven, and, you know.
Wait, what's that called? A hot plate or something?
No, a hot dish. Tater tot dish. Yeah.
Hot dish, that was the thing growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Hot dish?
Like tater tot, yeah, tater tot hot dish.
All frozen to start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, normal foods. Yeah. Went down Minneapolis, got a degree in genetics, cell biology, and development down there. Worked with a couple of vegetarians. Sometimes when I'd go out to eat for lunch, like I go to Subway and get a vegetarian sub because it was cheaper. Mm. I was cheap. I've always been kind of cheap and frugal. So like sometimes I just eat that way because it was, you know, I could save $2.
Yeah.
Went out to Santa Cruz, California for grad school. It, you know, Santa Cruz has this, I guess, reputation as a hippy-dippy town.
Totally, yeah.
A lot of, you know, old school stoners, burnouts, surfer dudes and gals. But surprisingly, there wasn't, at least around the people that I was, you know, around, like there weren't a lot of vegetarians or vegans. There was a couple of really fairly famous or well-known vegetarian spots there that I'd go to. But again, not really exposed to it. I had a roommate that, I can't remember if he was vegetarian or vegan, but every once in a while he would play, you know, he'd put on some,
documentary.
And stuff like that. And, you know, we weren't going to be receptive to it because we didn't, you know, it was like, not the time or the space for, you know, just to shove that into your roommate's face when they're coming home from working. But that was like the first time I was like exposed to like that side of the thing. So like some seeds were, you know, were planted.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I hated him though. He was not because he was vegetarian, just because he was really annoying about all aspects of everything else.
Yeah.
Way to make vegans look bad, Craig.
I think he was just vegetarian, so it's okay.
Well, that's fine. I'm just kidding.
So that was kind of my first exposure to, like, you know, somebody that was actually kind of active in the scene like that. And then moved down to San Diego, became really good friends with an on-again, off-again vegetarian / pescatarian type. And then, you know, just knew of more people like that and kind of became accustomed to it. And then, I mean, really, she's the first true vegan that I'd met.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was all uphill from there.
All right. So we're in San Diego, and let's hear the meeting story, if we could.
We met on Tinder.
I love it.
And we're not ashamed of it.
Yeah. The two least likely people to be on Tinder somehow found each other.
Yeah.
And that was,
it was new at the time, and a lot of, like, the girls I worked with were single, and were trying it, and we went out to a bar. I was trying to get the app on my phone, and I couldn't get it on because it was too full, and I had, like, an old phone forever. Finally figured out how to get it on, started swiping, and I met Craig, like, right away.
Yeah. Like, so, one of the first connections on Tinder.
Yeah, I didn't go out with anyone else through Tinder.
So where'd you guys meet? Because that's always, like, the tough step of, like, you guys connect, chat a little bit, and then it's like, all right, are we going to, like, meet the dude? Especially if it was new, right? Where you still have kind of your guard up with, you know, new dating stuff. But where'd you guys meet?
Yes,
we went. A vegan spot or what?
No,
it wasn't vegan.
Yeah.
No. I was.
Yeah. So it was a little, she got her claws into me. It was a little, like, tiny little gastropub type of place, like, in San Diego.
What was,
like,
it called again?
Something with a, there's a bear Provisions? in the logo.
Yeah.
I can't. Waypoint.
Waypoint Pop.
Yeah,
Waypoint.
There we go.
Waypoint Pop. Okay.
There's 1,001 places like that in San Diego, so it's easy to forget.
No, that place was cute, but it wasn't very vegan friendly, really.
No, I think we ordered French fries.
And you got me
the ketchup.
Yeah, and we didn't have any ketchup on the table, and she was, like, kind of looking around, and I saw some people that had ketchup, and, like, all right, I'll go get her ketchup.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
this gentleman.
Exactly. So we had some beer and French fries.
And it didn't come up on that date.
No, it did not come up on that day because we were eating French fries.
French fries. Everybody, were good.
Everybody eats French fries. Those aren't vegan.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the second date that it slipped out. Mostly because we went to another small little bar, like a brunch place.
Yeah.
And I got a.
No, it was before that it came out.
Did it?
At the.
Oh. the atheist church.
We went to an atheist church ceremony just for fun. I mean, we're not, like, diehard atheists. We're just, you know, agnostic. Yeah. We're not really religious.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, we just, it was kind of like, we thought it'd be funny and just interesting to check out. So, on our second date, we went to atheist church.
Yeah. It was a little weird. Because, like, I grew up Catholic.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I went to Catholic school up and through sixth grade. It was, like, church a couple times a week. I knew all the moves.
Yeah.
Like, even now, if I go back home and they go to church, like, they've changed up some of the words, that throws me. But I'm still, like, just in the mode. I know exactly what to do, what to say. Yeah. And it's like, my parents are happy.
Yeah, right.
They're just like, he knows what he's doing, so he must be going still.
But it was actually, I mean, it actually looked like it might be kind of cool because it was just supposed to be like, let's have all the community of church without the religion. Just have, music and have like scientists come up and give talks and stuff. I was like, this could be cool.
So it comes up in the church? Like you guys are talking and
they have cookies and coffee in the back just like you would at like a regular church. And I think that's when it came up that I was like, oh, actually, I'm vegan.
Yeah.
And I was like, was he going to react, you know? So, and he didn't seem to be amazed by it.
So let's get your story of how this all happened then, kind of.
Okay.
Was it in San Diego or was it in LA?
Ultimately, it was. Yeah. So actually, you know, I said my family was meat and potatoes, but actually when I was 14, I actually went vegan for the first time.
Really? Yeah.
I was into the local like hardcore music scene, and there was a lot of awareness of vegetarianism.
So you were kind of typical, like, almost like emo vegan.
I was straight edge.
Like, right? Like, the total, like, all right, like, you know, when you see somebody like that, like, at least how I used to be, I was like, all right, they're out of their mind. Like, I used to think of, like, vegans as kind of like that, you know, kind of, like, really out there people.
But. Yeah, and I was just, you know, it was, like, it was cool. It was, at the time, like, I was really kind of clueless, really.
Yeah.
But, like, I was exposed to, you know, like, leaflets that made me think about things I had never thought about before as far as how animals are used for food and just the fact that they're even slaughtered. I don't even think, like, I ever thought about that before as a kid, you know?
Totally, yeah.
So I became vegan, which...
You're eating Oreos and stuff?
Yeah, like, I don't even think I really fully knew what it was, but, like, I tried to eliminate meat and animal products for about a year.
Mm.
People, obviously, it was, like, people were discouraging that so strongly, and my parents and doctors and everyone just so misinformed about it. And
totally.
Ultimately, I ended up just being vegetarian for, like, through my whole teens after that point, through, like, my early 20s.
Yeah.
And sorry, babe, it was actually an ex-boyfriend who, like, just really wanted me to start eating meat again. And I don't know. I think, like, at that point, I was just kind of not eating meat out of habit.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't eating it for so many years, and I there just wasn't, didn't like, want it.
There wasn't kind of the bigger connection at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then I was eating meat for about, like, I don't know, probably through, like, to my late 20s. I started eating, like, you know, chicken. It was like the first meat that I ate again was a barbecue chicken pizza.
Hmm.
And it's like, well, it's, yeah, it's like smothered in barbecue sauce on a pizza, you know, like, so that it was easy to eat that. But then it went, you know, to hamburgers again, like steak. Eventually I was eating everything again. And I was just like, almost every time I'd go out to eat, I would get like a hamburger or a steak.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, I can do this now. And like, you know, it's kind of addictive food. It's like you just want
to
keep
eating
it. And I just really wasn't thinking about it at all. When I toured with film school, actually, a few members of that band were vegetarian. And I would always just tell people, oh, I used to be vegetarian. Like, I kind of was like, okay, that absolves me now of responsibility because I was a vegetarian. So I get it. You know, I kind of just had this, I don't know, it's a line just...
So when does that shift? When you're out in San Diego?
Yes. So when I bought a book at Costco. It was, and I had no idea that it was a book of plant-based recipes.
Mm.
It was just like about, you know, getting into better shape and eating lighter foods that will make you feel lighter.
Do you remember the
total
name?
On a whim. Yeah, it's called Get Naked Fast.
Get Naked Fast. Nice.
Ditching the foods that weigh you down or something like that.
Yeah.
And so...
it's funny that the girl I had on the podcast last week, the book that shifted her was Skinny Bitch.
Okay.
It's almost like the title needs to be totally unrelated to plant-based or veganism to get like a lot of people to pick it up.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have picked it up at the time.
Yeah.
I just started making some of those recipes and just was like, wow. You know, like it said, she encouraged the author, Diana Stobo, I think is her name. She encouraged people, you know, to eliminate all dairy and eggs. And I was like, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah. What am I going to have for breakfast?
Yeah. And so, like, I started it just kind of opened up this new world for me. And I just started becoming more open to it, you know?
Yeah.
And the next phase for me was kind of, like, environmental stuff. I remembered hearing about, like, Mark Bittman was shedding light on the UN report, Livestock's Long Shadow, that showed how harmful animal agriculture is for the planet. And it's just like, wow, you know, not only is this food better for you to eat, but it's better for the planet.
Yeah.
My ex-husband at the time really wasn't into it. It caused, you know, tension. But I was going in that direction.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I'm trying to think, oh, there was a podcast actually, Colleen Patrick Goodrow.
Okay.
Is that her name? I hope I'm saying it right.
I hope so.
She has a podcast called Food for Thought.
Yep.
And I was listening to that a lot on my commute. And that's what eventually made me go fully vegan. And I remember the day that I used to have cheese on everything, especially because I was a vegetarian for so long.
Right.
I had so much dairy products and cheese. And, just like everyone says, I could never give up cheese. I could never give up cheese, like, and eggs and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But I had started to reduce these foods gradually. And I remember the day that I had my last bite intentionally of cheese, dairy cheese. I had ordered a salad and it came with garlic bread and I didn't realize that it would have cheese melted on it. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I ordered this. I'm not going to waste it. Took a bite of the bread with the cheese and it tasted like gamey and oily to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it was like bad cheese. It was just the cheese itself. It's like an animal's secretions like melting on my bread. Like I finally was just like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like,
yeah. And your tastes probably had changed a little bit too.
Yeah. Your taste buds really do change. Yeah.
The example I always give is when people switched from whole milk to skim milk, you know, back in kind of the low fat craze.
Yeah.
And you know, people are always like, I could never give up this or that. And you kind of give that example on, you know, people once they made the switch and like a few months later, if they went back and like had whole milk in their coffee, they'd be like, oh, it's just too much. It's like too...
Totally.
It's too much, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing happens with your taste buds when you, you know, cut out the dairy and the meat. Yeah.
And you have to make that change to believe that it can happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's acquired tastes too, you know, like I had a cousin adopted from Romania where they didn't really consume dairy. As far as I know, she hadn't anyway. And she just, you know, when she was brought to this country, milk repulsed her, you know?
Right.
Like, it's acquired taste.
Yeah. And, a cool thing that a lot of people don't know for the listeners that the only innate taste you're born with is for breast milk. Everything else you create. So, like, you know, we literally create the foods we crave by what we eat. You know, if we eat certain things, we start to crave them. If we stop eating others, we stop craving them.
That makes sense,
Yeah. That's the only innate kind of craving we have.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else we create.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you guys meet, obviously, the vegan meets the non-vegan.
Correct. Right?
So how did you ultimately become vegan? What was this transition
Wait,
like?
We have to finish the story with the... at the bar.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, technically that's where it started. So after, you know, atheist church,
we went to a bar.
Yeah, exactly. You do what you do after you go to church.
Perfect.
You go to a bar.
For Bloody Marys.
Yeah. So
it wasn't even noon yet.
Yeah. No. So we went to this place and their Bloody Marys. It comes with, you know, like 15 different toppings on them on this giant skewer, like, you know, piece of shrimp, it's like a blue cheese, olive,
bacon,
and a side of pork rinds.
One of those crazy.
You get a bag of pork rinds too, and it's like, so I got that because that's what it all comes with. It's, yeah. It's like, what, or you can just take the stuff off and pay the same price. And like, again.
No, I got, well, I got the premium version.
But it was it cheaper?
Well, I don't, I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
Should have been.
Exactly.
But it still had, I mean, it was so loaded that it had
plenty
in it.
It had about 1/2 pound of vegetables in there as well. But, you know, again, I'm cheap, so I want to get all the stuff that I paid for.
Yeah.
So I've got like this, this 5 pound, this 5 pound Bloody Mary. After knowing that she's vegan, I'm like, you know, it's my choice. It's a, I know what I'm doing. It's, you know, you can do you. That's great. I'm proud. That's awesome. I'm just going to do me, sort of had a small conversation about that. And it is kind of funny to, like, you know, now 3.5 years later to, like, look back and, like, me falling into all those ridiculous tropes of what every non-vegan says.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. I was such hey,
we were
a,
all
oh,
there, right?
Yeah.
We were all there.
It's like, yeah. Oh, because now you get mad when people do that. It's like, I would never say that, even though it's, like, you know,
thousands. I totally said that.
Yeah, 1,200 days ago.
I totally asked about protein.
Damn it. And it's helpful to remember that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But, yeah, so that kind of laid the foundation. And then when I was living in San Diego, it's not, like, the most foodie of towns, but there are places that have, like, the local vore scene where all of their, you know, animal products are happy up until they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in my mind, I'm like, well, I go to these places, I'm eating, you know, well-raised animals.
Right, sustainably raised and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, in my mind, 90% of the time, I'm going to the taqueria down the street where they're getting the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, in my mind, this is who I am. Then, like, you know, I'm getting all my meats from the farmer's market. No. again, because it's way more expensive, so...
Yeah.
I tell myself I'm doing the right thing and then just doing the wrong thing. But, like, if I do it once out of, you know, once a month, that's enough to be like, I'm being a conscious consumer. Because I know it's bad because, you know, things have to die.
Yeah.
Which
they have to be killed. Don't conflate death with killing.
Good point. Yes.
So
things,
so many
do. Things have to be killed for them to end up on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think about that. You just want to think, well, they're happy up until this point. Something happens, and now they're well-seasoned and tasty on my plate.
Yeah. So you're spending, kind of justifying it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Every now and then's okay, and
exactly.
You know, you need your protein, and all that. The usual kind of...
Yeah, and then, like, the weird part, like, I've, you know, living by myself, so I'd be cooking for one.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know... I wouldn't be, you know, most of my meat would be, you know, frozen chicken breast or like a frozen things of hamburger or whatever in the freezer. So I'd get home and if I'm hungry, I'll whip up something that just happens to be either vegetarian or vegan because like I'm not going to wait in a 30 minutes, an hour for something to thaw. So I'll just make it without it and it's fine. So like at home, like it wasn't that big of a deal for me, you know. I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm going to eat, you know, vegan or vegetarian today. It just happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then with talking to her, I think, Lorelai, you gave me Eating Animals, right?
The book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, just read this. And so I did. And like by the, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, 15, 20 pages in, you're like, I'm a monster.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what am I doing?
Yeah.
Still was eating cheese.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is awful. Like, why would I do that? Occasionally would go get, like, a cheese steak or whatever. Because I'm like, I wasn't ready to, you know, I didn't want to call myself anything. I'm like,
yeah, you don't want to label yourself, right? Especially
like,
as a guy.
Yeah, I'm a flexitarian.
Yeah,
I could eat, I could be vegan 99.9% of the time. But, you know, when I want it, big damn it, I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
So it happened fairly quickly because we met in February. And then May of that year, so like 3 months later, I went back to Minnesota for my birthday and had the last like meat that I had that I've eaten. And I remember it was a terrible fish sandwich at an awful little diner in our hometown.
Yeah.
And like, one, it was the closest thing to vegetarian or vegan that they would have had on the menu. So
yeah.
I'm like,
everybody defaults to the
fish,
right?
Exactly. And then it was, you know, just tasted terrible. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, the last My last memory of meat is going to be awful. It'll be make it so much better. Yeah. And then, you know, came back, still didn't want to call myself vegan. Occasionally I would have like cheese or sour cream on something. And I wasn't concerned about the milk products. And then I was actually at a beer festival where like the only thing, the closest thing that I could have to eat that was, again, vegan was cheese pizza. Mm. And it was the same thing with her. I had the cheese pizza and it just made me feel bad.
Yeah.
Like the taste wasn't great and just was like, it was one of those things where you kind of realize like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so that was the last, you know, animal product again that willingly consumed, because mm-hmm. obviously mm-hmm. mix-ups happen wherever you go, which are another frustrating thing. But yeah, so from February until I think it was July was what it took me to transition. And I think 5 months before I met her, I had a pig roast in my backyard.
Mm.
So in less than a year, in less than a year, I went from, you know, spit roasting an entire animal to never eating an animal product again.
Yeah.
Or wearing an animal product or like, you know, putting anything on me that was tested on animals. It's so it was a fairly quick transition, but it was one of those things where once you learn about it, if you just stop making excuses for yourself, it was really easy.
Yeah.
And I think that was the annoying part. Mm. It's like, man, that was dumb that I thought it would have been hard. Yeah. Like, you know.
Right. Right. So what's it kind of now? So how long for you? 3 years now? Or
about 3.5 now.
For me, it's 4.5.
4.5. So I'm in the ballpark close to 3. Mm-hmm. And what's it done for you guys in terms of like health, well-being, maybe relationships? And I mean, what's changed in your life as a result of it?
When I first went vegan, like I would, you know, I was drinking a lot of green smoothies and stuff. And I remember I didn't have to drink coffee anymore because I just felt like I got so much energy mm-hmm. from all the greens and everything in the smoothies. And I mean, it just, I think I was probably like, not that I'm, you know, have a weight issues or want to like accentuate body issues or anything like that, but for me personally, I was probably like about 10 pounds heavier, like as a normal baseline.
Yeah.
Just when I look back at old pictures of myself, I notice, you know, and I don't like try to.
I'm the same way. I see it in my face when I look back. I'm like, wow, there's just like
in my face, big
that
time.
Swollen kind of. Yeah, like, you know, I'm like,
baby fat because you're eating something that was meant for babies.
Yeah, perhaps.
Milk, yeah.
I mean, no, totally. Totally.
So I don't like watch what I eat at all, and I just kind of maintain a healthy weight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the world's healthiest vegans, I should add, if you've seen our Instagram feed, eat plants, drink beer.
Yeah.
and we drink beer. But, you know, like the food is just, it doesn't have any saturated fat for the most part, not a ton. It doesn't have any cholesterol. It's just lighter, you know, it has fiber.
Yeah.
You feel more full. Like, we always usually finish our meals. I know I didn't finish the soup. But we just, I don't know. It's like we finish our meals and we're satiated and that's it, you know? I used to kind of always be, I was like thinking about food a lot. I'd be like, oh, like, what am I going to eat next? Like, oh, I'm hungry now, but I should wait. Like, it was always kind of like there, you know?
You're explaining my dilemma to a team of just like, I shouldn't have one more slice.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not every like time I'm having like three more. And it's just, it was like a constant battle with food.
Yeah.
And then as a result, I would spend like 3 hours in the gym the following day.
Really?
And it was just like a nonstop like battle mm-hmm. with food and like trying to maintain how I wanted to look and feel. And I was like, you know, I got to a point where I was like, all right, there's got to be a simpler way. And that's kind of what led me into experimenting with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just was like, all right, let me try a green smoothie and not be such a freaking meathead. You know?
Yeah, I mean, your relationship with food really changes. Because you go from, like, food being almost like the enemy in a way. Like, you have to limit yourself to, like, portions and... And that now it's just like we eat everything we want as much as we want. It all just happens to be, you know, vegan.
Yeah.
But there's no, I feel so much less restricted now with what I eat as a vegan than I did before. I know that probably sounds crazy if you're not vegan, but it's really true.
Yeah, same exact thing with me. It just, it freed me of that battle. And on that note, I'll take another cookie.
Yes. We made some sugar, vegan sugar cookies in Halloween shapes and animal shapes, so... We are eating animals here.
Okay, so... Yeah,
the only animals we eat in cookie form.
Yes.
Cookie shape.
Like biting the heads off turkeys here.
So, relationship with food. Anything else on either of your end?
I don't know. For me, like, I'm a little bit of the opposite, where I didn't drop any weight. I actually gained some. but mostly because, like, before I went vegan, like, even probably, like, 6 months to a year before that, I was working out 4 or 5 times a week, like outdoor, like training stuff. Like, would do 12-hour overnight workouts where you're like schlepping 50-pound sacks of sand up mountains and stuff like that. Because it was
fun. Hang on, wait a second.
You know, normal things.
Yeah, tell me what this is. Overnight 12-hour.
Yeah,
these, well, like Spartan races, like what's going on?
So the guy that runs it, his name is Joe Decker for Gut Check Fitness. I guess if I want to buzz market them,
give him a shout out.
Yeah,
this is out in San Diego.
San Diego. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records of the world's fittest man.
Okay,
like because like 15 years ago now, he did like an insane number of calisthenic exercises that just like you read the list and you're like, I might be able to do this in a year. He did it in 24 hours. So he's like an amazing guy, like super driven and like gets you to do the most that you'd ever think that you could ever do out of it. And like one of the things that they have is that there's these events called The Suck, which are like 12-hour overnight excursions into different mountains around San Diego, like hiking trails where you do stupid things for a stupid long amount of time. And then you come home and you pass out for about 6 hours. And then you wake up and you can barely move. And you're like, can't wait to do this again.
Yeah.
So
you were doing stuff like that.
Yeah. And then
crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, then I kind of hurt myself.
And then we got in a
relationship. Well, no, it wasn't that.
Like, I was like, screw that.
No, I went to do like a 50-mile run around Catalina Island. Mm. And I did it with a very, very bad chest cold, which was dumb. I got to around mile 30 and I coughed up blood, which is bad. So I kind of stopped running. You know, the smartest thing that I did that day was, you know, after pushing myself for 5 hours, I'm like, maybe I should stop doing this now that I'm coughing up blood. But really ever since then, like my lung capacity has been kind of poor, and then I kind of tapered off a little bit, and it's like, it's hard to like jump back up when you've been up so high and you're back down. And then then I got into a relationship. I'm like, well, I don't have to look great anymore. But it's not
for your weekend, not veganism.
Exactly. I got lazy, but no, I mean, I've put on maybe like 15 pounds in 3 years and I've been steady at like the same weight now. And like, obviously I'm not like a heavy person by any means.
You feel good. You're healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
considering that you're almost 6'7", you can gain some pounds.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like I'll tell people like, oh man, I've gained like 20 pounds. And like, where?
Yeah.
Like, right here?
I'm actually
spread
not sure.
Out, yeah. So that, I mean, that does help it. But like the same thing though. Like I think going vegan just opened up a whole slew of like just different types of cuisines that I've never really ate before, never cooked before. Like I love to cook. So like it just gave me this whole new tool chest to work with. And it was like crazy. And like, so for me, it was just like really fun, like to begin with. And then now it's like, you know, we'll go grocery shopping. We get the same base ingredients like every week we go out, but like I'll make completely different stuff out of it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm always just like, I'm like, I know he's going to make something amazing no matter what I get. So I'll just throw it in there. And...
Yeah. So you go like, you make something from like North Africa and then like something Lebanese and then Indian and then, you know, Chinese, like all around. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's really funny because like you have all these different cuisines that work so well, and then you're like, American food. I'll make a black bean burger and like sweet potato fries.
Like, or I'll make like a
seitan roast or something.
I'll make a lentil meatloaf or something. To replicate or like a shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
More like replicating the meat and potatoes thing, but
for all the other stuff, they just lend themselves so much easier, and there's so much flavor involved.
Because 66% of the world eats a primarily plant based diet, which we were just going over this today for the website I'm making for Truth About. So many affordable staples are part of global cuisines that there's so much you can do with them.
So like when people give you shit for like, they're like, oh, it's got to be so boring like eating that way, I'm like, enjoy your fifth burger of the week. You're really stretching yourself there. It's like,
third time you've ordered pizza this week?
Yeah.
It's like, this one has cheddar cheese now instead of Swiss cheese. Really expanding those boundaries there.
Yeah.
Well, there's like tens of thousands of edible plant species on the planet.
Yeah.
And most people just choose from eating like five different animals.
I give that example all the time. Damn. I'm like, the meat and dairy category is so small, and people just live their whole life there.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs for breakfast, turkey sandwich for lunch, you know, steak for dinner. And that's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I lived for 25 years.
Yeah.
And there's all these other thousands and thousands of foods you can eat that are changed with the seasons and all this stuff. And, it's so amazing.
It's
a whole different world of food.
And people are always saying, like, to be vegan, you have to eat this, like, carefully well-planned diet. We were talking about this the other day. You really don't. I mean, why would we have to plan our diets more carefully than an omnivore would? They're eating the same thing, you know, much of the same things.
Yeah.
There's no fiber in animal products, so, like, they have to make sure that they're getting some fiber. Most people are deficient. So it's kind of like a double standard. Like, we're not like sitting here with a notebook every morning. Like, what are we going to eat? We need to make sure.
Add some leafy greens. Cross that off.
No, like, just have a variety of plant foods. Yeah. And we're not the world's healthiest people, but we have no health problems. Like, I just got my blood work done for an annual physical.
Yeah.
And my B12 was high.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, your B12's on the high side. I'm like, that's funny.
Now, do you supplement B12?
I do. I mean, I take like a multivitamin.
Yeah.
And then we were taking like once a week, we were taking B12.
Yeah. That's kind of the
consistently.
One. That's the one that...
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But it wasn't... Yeah, definitely not consistent.
Well, I mean, most people don't know that most of the B12 consumed in the world is consumed by farmed animals.
Yeah.
So it's like either you're taking a B12 supplement directly, or you're eating a farmed animal who was given a B12 supplement.
Yeah, and that, for people listening, that's the same as protein.
Yeah.
That's the same thing that happens, that the animal got the protein from a plant source, and then you're just eating the recycled version of it.
Yes.
But also, the B12, we used to get it when, you know, agriculture wasn't so sterilized.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
People would eat off the land, you got your B12 from the soil.
You eat a dirty carrot.
So now that's gone.
It's not a vegan issue. It's a farming issue.
Yeah.
Sanitizing issue, but
totally.
Most people also don't realize that farming animals creates a smaller yield of protein than farming plants. They ask you where you get your protein, but the average efficiency for a farmed animal converting feed to food is only 3%. So all 97% of that protein is gone.
Yeah. Used by the animal.
But there's this like illusion that
it's excreted out and then you have to store it somewhere.
It's
and
turned
then it gets
into waste.
Yeah, and then it gets into the environment.
Greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah.
It's like, it's worse than throwing food away because you're turning it into emissions and pollution.
Yeah. So, again, for kind of like the average person listening to this, just so you know what we're saying, animal agriculture is the largest cause of, you know, climate change on the planet, and there's a number of things that go into that, from the transportation of it to the deforestation of it to the animal secretions to growing food for the animals and all that. So if people are confused on that, so if you're somebody that's kind of trends on the environmentalist side, it doesn't really make sense to eat animal products and consider yourself, you know, environmentally friendly, because you're kind of contradicting yourself in that.
There's a lot of it that you just never think about growing up. I don't think a lot of people think about the fact that animals eat so many plants. You know, they eat like all this feed, all this tons of land goes to growing feed for animals, which is makes it ironic when they say plants have feelings too. It's like, well, then stop eating so many plants that are embedded in the animals that you eat.
Yeah, and the numbers on that, something like half of the entire United States is used for the raising of animals. Half of the land like that. In the U.S., and a third of the Earth, actually. So, like, the size of Asia is used for, you know.
Right.
And in the U.S., over 60% of all grains that are planted are fed to animals as opposed to
80% of corn, 98% of soy.
Yeah. That's 98% of soy?
Yep.
Of the soy meal, yeah.
So if you cut out the middle man there, kind of the bigger picture is like you cut out the middle animal eating everything we grow.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You can solve a lot of other problems.
You reduce consumption so greatly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you were saying, climate change is one part of it. And the other big part is resource depletion.
Mm.
You know, all the water, all the land.
Yeah.
Even fossil fuels. It takes like 10 times more fossil fuels per calorie.
Yeah. That's another thing. Over half all water in the U.S.
In the water. Right. And that's...
You can't water your lawn in California during a drought, but your burger
costs
6 months of water.
Me so much that I started a grassroots campaign called Truth or Drought when we lived in San Diego, and I still run it. It's a mostly not just like the social media pages, but that's what I've been working on this week is, you know, doing a new website for that, and I've been looking at so many of these facts. I mean, like I was saying, I don't think people really think about it. And like one of the kind of simple ways to explain it is that as vegans, we are primary consumers of plants. And as non-vegans, we are secondary consumers of plants.
Right.
And so that's just like basic science of trophic levels.
Yeah.
You're going to be consuming more resources and causing more pollution by being a secondary consumer of plants, meaning the plants that are cycled through the animals that you're eating, either their flesh or their secretions.
Totally.
So it's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to just like break it down, make it simple, because it can be really hard to explain and really wordy.
Yeah.
And I just want to like find like concise ways to kind of get it across to people.
Totally. So I got to ask, I almost ask this every week, but why are you guys, so you guys watch a documentary or you read the book you mentioned or whatever the video you watched was, and you're able to digest it and say, wow, that's effed up. I believe that's just kind of wrong what happens to animals. And then you're able to go and say to yourself, like, I'm going to at least attempt to dial back eating meat and dairy and eventually eliminate it. Why are you guys able to do that? But the average person that has all the information, sees the documentaries, you know, reads the books, has people in their family that are vegan and do this, right? Can't make the change. Is it a social thing? Is it a, like, what is it that why? Because everybody agrees when you see the videos, when you actually know what happens to get that food to your plate, everybody agrees it's wrong. You know, there's very few people that are like, yeah, that's cool that you can just, you know, rip that pig apart. You know, and what does it take for some people to tie that knowledge to their daily decisions and other people they choose to ignore it or put it out of the back of their mind? What do you think it is? Is it social? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's a huge convenience factor for people and social thing. Like, and obviously,
social
it's just
is huge.
Yeah, and just it, we're hedonistic creatures. Like, if it tastes good, if it feels good, we're gonna do it. And that's the problem when you like set your ethics behind something that's based on such like tactile sensations, like taste, or, you know, it's like. You're going to do all you can to make it okay to do that thing because you like to do it. Mm. And so I think it's hard to step back from that. And it's really hard to admit that you've been wrong for any length of time. Like, you know, for you in your mid 20s, you made the change, you know, me as in my mid 30s. And so it's like, well, you have, you know, 30 plus years of just doing this thing that you've always done before. And now you step back and it's hard because you're like, but if I do this, it means I was wrong. Mm. So why would I want to admit that? Mm. And I know, like, a lot of, at least, like, a lot of people that I talk to, like, when, you know, when you, they say stuff like that, it almost always invariably comes down to that. It's like, they don't, you know, outright say, it's like, well, I don't want to be wrong, or I'm never wrong about things. So it's just this feeling that you get that you just can't, you can't fathom, one, that, like, your parents and everybody else lied to you, that yeah. it's actually not good for you, not good for the animals, obviously, not, you know, the animals are, yeah, they're not here for us.
Put here for us.
Yeah. So I think it's just a lot to do with just that social conditioning, the idea that you never want to be wrong, especially about something like that. And then it's frustrating because, like you see the science of so many other things kind of picking up and changing people's minds, like with global warming and all sorts of things. And you have the Facebook site, you know, like, everybody fucking loves science. Yeah, and if you go on that site and you're like, here's some science for you, and they're like, I'm not that science.
Yeah,
they like, love the sorry vegans type stories.
Yeah, where things are being twisted. Completely, yeah. Man, there's one thing that I read completely off topic, but it's hilarious, where they were talking about how kale is actually bad for you. Because it has, like, it's because it has some things that can affect your thyroid. And like, yeah, that's true. And then, like, and it's like, if you have pounds of it every day, that's, like, completely raw and uncooked and all this sorts of stuff. And, like, I read, like, 4 or 5 different iterations of the same article. And every article, you know, obviously they're just cut and paste jobs where they change paragraphs around. But it's like, kale is bad for you. Here's an example of this woman who ate 3 kilos of bok choy raw every day and got... her thyroid got screwed up, and it's like, those are two different things.
Yeah, they're really looking.
And nobody's going to be eating 7 pounds of raw bok choy, except for this one lady. And like, yeah, maybe she deserved to get.
Yeah. You know, did you guys read the Plant Paradox book? Yeah.
What was it?
That's one you should read it just to. It's called The Plant Paradox, and why it's like the subtitle is like the hidden dangers in healthy foods. And it's all about how, like, plants have lectins that harm us. And, like, a plant is like any other species on the planet. It wants to live. Yeah. And its defense systems are, like, internal because it can't move. And they're poisonous and things like that. So, interesting one to check out. But it's totally, like, been pretty hardcore debunked. But the past 6 months...
I was like, why are you recommending this?
The past 6 months, it's just been, like...
Oh, you know,
it gets such good marketing.
People
that, like,
love the confirmation
beans
bias.
Beans are horrible for you, even though, you know, you look at the Blue Zones and that's their staple food around the world. And then, like, you know, that's where the whole, like, nightshades notion comes from is lectins and just other, like, some of the most health-promoting foods on the planet. And I read the guy's theory, and I was like, okay, this could make sense. I read the first couple chapters. I was like, yeah, this makes sense. And then as I got more into it, and he's recommending what you should eat, and it's all like, you know, eggs and grass-fed butter. And that's when I started losing them. I was just like, dude, like, come on. Like, I thought we were past the whole butter is good for you thing. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, to continue the question that you had previously asked, you were saying, like, it's hard to admit that you're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I think equally as hard is just... having a position that implies other people are wrong.
Exactly.
And challenging social norms is so hard. You know, like,
even I get a lot of people mad at me when you're like, it's, you know, like, oh, you want to go grab this, whatever, but just have some, you know, pizza. And I'm like, no, I don't eat animal products. And, and they're like, oh, what are you, some sort of vegan? I'm like, I'm a vegan. Well, and then just, like, they immediately get mad. It's like, well, I'm not saying
you
you're bad.
Just exposed something that everyone else keeps under wraps.
I mean, back to your original kind of thing. You do you, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's cool.
Just
it's
by
cool.
virtue of being vegan, you are pointing out their non-veganism, which is the fact that they exploit animals, even though they don't have to.
Right. And
they don't like thinking about that.
And everybody says, like, oh, I could never do that. It's impossible. Who would do that? And they see somebody that can do it, and they're like...
Yeah.
Get upset.
Not only somebody that can do it, but somebody that's healthy and somebody that's thriving and happy and all this.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on that, it's like when I'm like go home to eat dinner with my family and everybody's there, it's like there is, you can, like, I can sense it, even though, like, people won't admit it, but they're,
that,
you know.
Tension?
Yeah, it's like they're eating their burgers and I'm having whatever I'm having, and it's kind of like, you know, people tend to go, like, out of their way, like, oh, I haven't had a burger in the longest time, you know? Like, make comments like, oh, I'm most, you know, they're sitting there, like, eating their burger, and they're like, yeah, like, I rarely eat meat, mm-hmm. you know? And they have to put that in because they kind of feel that, like...
guilt.
They think you're judging them, which, you know, you're not.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am, honestly. I'm not going to lie. But because when it comes to my family and friends, those are the people that have all the information. Mm-hmm. They listen to my stuff. They talk to me. Mm-hmm. Like, they know the facts. So, right. like, yeah,
they
I occasionally
can be the hardest.
Judge, but...
Family can be the hardest.
Family can be the hardest, yeah.
But it's funny because my aunt, Joanne, I have a home video when I was 14 of her, like, going up to the camera and going, Lorelai, you have to eat meat. It'll keep you healthy. And now she's actually vegan.
Yeah.
She's vegan. And I have another cousin who's
vegan,
awesome.
Too.
Yeah, there's a few vegans and vegetarians in my family.
Yeah.
And some of them have said it's from things that I've shared online.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
it is cool. That's the best part about it for me and why I'm sitting here doing this podcast is just seeing, like, your family and friends, like, at least even if it's small changes, like switching to almond milk or, you know, buying plant-based cheese instead of real cheese or whatever it is, or eating less, you know, animal products.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool to see the changes and even...
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I need to try and convince my dad just to eat, like, just vegan hot dogs. He eats so many hot
dogs.
My
mom eats hot dogs,
so
too.
Frustrating. It's like, you could just... You buy the vegan ones, and the worst part is you'll eat, like, three or four. So it's like, you know, 1,500 calories of the worst possible things that you could have. And, like... Or you could have, like, four or five vegan hot dogs, and there'd be, like, 250 or 300 calories. So, like, you immediately save, like, a third of a pound of just calories.
Yeah, and you actually might get, like, some decent, like, soy in there or something.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
won't,
like,
be that bad.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, Dad, you have the bun, have all the toppings, the relish, the sauerkraut, all this other stuff. Just swap
you
out what
you
know,
know if you just
yeah,
gave
them
one.
Wouldn't.
You know what my mom does? She'll, so she's done this a few times, like, at, like, a Patriots game or, like, something. She'll go to, like, the sausage stand, and
mm-hmm.
she's probably 95% plant-based now.
Yeah.
She'll go to the sausage stand or the hot dog guy, and be like, just put all the hots on there and some ketchup and mustard. So she it's just the bun with, like, the peppers, onions, and the ketchup and mustard, because that's, like, the taste she misses, you know what I mean? That's kind of what she craves.
When we were teenagers, my sister was a vegetarian, too, and we used to go get, like, Big Macs with no meat. And the you know, cashier would look at us like we were crazy. We're like,
excuse me?
We just want the taste of the toppings and the bread.
So how do you guys go about other social situations? So let's say, like, you're going over, like, a friend's house for dinner, or you're, you know, going out to, somebody invites you out to dinner to a restaurant, you know, you're going to be eating fries or you're only going to be having beer, you know? How do you guys handle that?
I mean, like, this happens so rarely now because everyone knows that we're vegan and
I guess we're slowly transitioning to just hanging out with more of just vegan people.
I know.
Yeah.
No offense to the non-vegans that we still hang out with, but
like, I mean, we just had some non-vegans over for a dinner party, and, you know, they knew we were vegan and we made vegan food.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my grandmother's, like, 90th birthday is coming up, and one of my cousins and my aunt is vegan, so I already know they're gonna have vegan food, and we're bringing a vegan cake.
So fairly easy.
Well, like, say, your first day of work at your new job.
Yeah, that was it. So, like, first day of work, new job, you know, they're gonna take the team out to lunch, I was like, well, you might want to know something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't eat animal products.
Yeah.
None of them. Yeah.
The freaking new guy.
Yeah. Well, and then it was kind of funny because then my manager is like, do you know of anywhere around here that serves stuff like that? And, like, I had searched because I'm like, one, I'm going to be working up here, so let's find out what we have. And so they had, like, a place that has, you know, falafel and, like, hummus and baba ganoush and stuff like that. And I was like, can go here.
Yeah.
And, like, and it was just funny because, like, one person ended up getting, like, like a shawarma plate, but everybody else got like the falafel wrap. Yeah, and I'm like, and I don't know if it was because they just felt weird
yeah.
to order it, you know, with me there, like just learning about it. So it was kind of nice. And then it's also cool because there's like a Chipotle like 5 minutes away too. So like if I forget to bring lunch, I'm like, well, I can run over to Chipotle. And
you can eat vegan at Chipotle for those listening.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Fritos.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Or you can just get the straight vegetarian burrito and then you get the free guac.
Ah.
Yeah.
Tip.
Yeah.
So walk us through, both you or together or whatever, walk us through for somebody that's listening out there and they're just like, what the hell do these people eat all day? Walk us through like an average breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I fall into routines and they're always changing, but like right now, and also weekdays are different from weekends. On weekends, we make a lot of cooked, you know, delicious meals, but like on weekdays, just kind of running to work and stuff, I'll have like a yogurt, like a soy yogurt with chia seeds in it for breakfast, maybe like a banana like an hour later. I kind of graze. At noon I'll have a sandwich of peanut butter and jelly. A chickpea salad sandwich is great. For those of you who don't know, it's like a egg salad but made with chickpeas instead of eggs. Or, you know, we do get the tofurkey deli meat. Mm-hmm. I know it's not like the healthiest thing in the world, but it's still healthier than sliced animal deli meat. or a soup, you know, or like a frozen burrito, just something quick. And then for dinner, we have some amazing gourmet thing that Craig whips up casually.
Yeah.
It's like, and we post them on our blog and our Instagram. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, pretty much the same. You go through the, you know, like for 3 or 4 weeks straight, we'll have like just nothing but green smoothies in the morning, and then you kind of fall off on that, and then then I'll be taking like bagels to work with like just peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter and chocolate, like vegan Nutella on top of that, and I'll just eat that in the car driving into work. Lunch, same thing. Either leftovers from the night before, just same thing that she's making, and then
or a wrap. We make wraps. Yeah, too.
And then dinner is whatever I damn want to make. Yeah. Like sometimes I'll have things in mind that like, oh, I'll get this to know for sure that I'll be able to have this. Other times like there's certain vegetables that just become like these weird transformative things. Like you can get a thing of like a head of cauliflower.
Mm.
I can either just, you know, roast the cauliflower itself. You can batter it and bake it, or batter it and fry it and make like the little cauliflower wings. You can turn cauliflower into like the greatest like Alfredo style sauces. Mm. I'll make like biscuits and gravy where the gravy will just be cauliflower based with some cashews in there with some like TVP, which is like textured vegetable protein for the sausage. That'll just mix with sage and fennel and a little bit of like red pepper flakes. So instead of having... So you're having this unhealthy meal, but you're literally having a half of a head of cauliflower while you're eating it. Yeah, so it looks like you're eating just this horrible fatty stuff, but it's like, it's crazy healthy, it's super flavorful, and you can just do things like that, like with the simple head of cauliflower.
Right, and even, you know, a lot of people aren't compelled to like even do that, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, so even if you aren't really into cooking, it's still easy to make vegan meals that are very simple, have few ingredients. You know, I made my own meals before I met Craig. God, shudder to think of those days. But, you know, like,
I think the takeaway there, kind of what you guys hit on there, is like, you know, you go through these phases of, you have kind of your staples that when you walk into a store, you get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is, just goes to show how easy like adopting a plant-based diet is. You just need to change those habits. Like if you go in and you stop at, you know, you get your eggs and then you go to the deli and then you have those routines. It's all about just changing those routines.
Yeah.
And,
getting
in those new habits.
Yeah, just go down a different aisle.
You get to whiz by the deli meat section.
Yeah, like cans of beans are great too, because you can take the chickpeas. I was saying, mash the chickpeas up, make like a chickpea salad. You can turn it into like a little chana masala type of curry with Indian based. Yeah. You can make like a tagine, so like North African, like throw in some almonds and and raisins and like onions and carrots and kind of like with the tomato-y stew.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they're all things that you can just have on hand.
Lorelai, you're spoiled.
I know, I am. And once in a while, he's too tired to cook, and I'm like looking on like theveganstoner.com to make like a 5-ingredient meatloaf. And it's still pretty good. But
so we're getting a little low on time here. But so before we start to wrap things up, tell us about Eat Plants Drink Beer.
Okay. It's a very simple concept.
It's exactly as it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. You eat plants and you drink beer. So it's a blog that Lorelai wanted me to start mostly to like put recipes on, like food recipes. I haven't put a food recipe up in a long time
because
I don't like to write things down, and I change everything every time I make it slightly different. So like there's a lot of things that I want to put on there, but it's like. No, then I have to get
it takes
a camera
a lot of time.
And take pictures and then write it up and like actually measure stuff instead of like, you know, putting it in and eyeballing and everything.
All right.
Tell them about it. And then, so then I put up a lot of beer recipes, like my homebrew recipes.
So how'd you get into that? Not to get off topic.
Oh, homebrewing?
Yeah.
So living in San Diego where there's, you know, 100 different breweries in San Diego County, there's a lot of people that are homebrewing. I just figured it was one of those things where I was already, like, I had a sourdough culture, so I was making my own bread, so I was fermenting that. I was fermenting sauerkraut, pickles, and everything.
Yeah, you're like, a little like a house of fermentation.
Yeah, so it's like, well, why don't I just ferment beer, too? it's cheaper than going to the bar.
Yeah.
Because I've been using the same equipment now for, like, almost 4 and a half years. So, like, I haven't upgraded anything. So it's, like, the same initial investment. Still carrying me through, so like, you know, $40 worth of ingredients, I now have like 30 plus pints of beer. And so like...
Cheap self, oh, here we go again.
Exactly. So again, veganism's not expensive either.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I've got the beer recipes on there just so one, I have a repository for like all the stuff that I make, because I had a computer crash a couple years ago and I lost like a lot of recipes. It's just frustrating because there's a couple of things that I want to remake but I can't. And then the third little side of Eat Plants Drink Beer, the side that Lorelai has kind of taken
control
of,
is
just like the essay side of things, so writing things about different topics.
Awareness.
Issues. We've had a couple of... She's had a couple of articles that have blown up, like, huge. Like, they've gone viral.
Cool.
Like, every like, month or so, one of those articles, like, gets shared around everywhere. So, like, we get, like, normal, you know, couple hundred thousand people a week visit the site. And now it's, like, 10,000. And then it goes back down to
the...
And so, it's kind of nice. So, just to put something out there that kind of gets... around, you know, and change, and we know for a fact it changed people's lives. You get messages you know, I never would have thought about doing this, and I went vegan because of you. And mixing with the comments about, you know, this will never change anybody's mind. What you're saying is just pure nonsense. Obviously, it gets even, you know, worse than that. But it's like. They respond right above somebody that's like, this changed my life. I just went vegan. You're never going to change anybody's life using that tone. I'm like,
okay.
I think writing is a great way of, you know, talking about this. Because it's hard to talk to people about it. It can feel confronting, just the nature of what it is. I do a lot of writing. I help out with Vegan Publishers, which is the only all-vegan publishing company, and it's based in Boston. So I'm technically their media director.
What's the company?
Vegan Publishers.
Okay.
And that's they have, I mean, you have to read Farm to Fable by Robert Grillo, who runs Free from Harm. That is really good. And I've been doing that for a while. I have a kind of vegan humor, but also serious stuff too. A page called Brain on Hugs.
Okay.
And then Truth or Drought, which is actually has a huge, well, not huge, but much bigger audience actually than Eat Plants Drink Beer. But
oh yeah, all your other
more
stuff
people are always asking about Eat Plants Drink Beer for some reason. I had this idea for a blog post that would kind of pull people in based on their confirmation bias, wanting to confirm the anti-vegan bias.
Yeah.
So it's called "Our Vegan Diet Almost Killed Us." No, really.
Yeah.
And I had the idea for it in the shower, like wrote it, posted it on this blog that poor Craig had just started that ended up went viral.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah, like over a million hits.
Over really? A couple of hours. Oh my God. Like, my sister was like on vacation in Mexico. She's like, what? I keep seeing your picture on my timeline because it was like the picture of me and Craig. It's the same picture.
Yeah.
And it's to this day, it still gets shared. I get tagged in it. It's been reposted all over the internet on these like click farm websites. They just steal it. And I'm like, that's fine. Just as long as people read it, I don't care.
It's like, unfortunately, we haven't really monetized the site, so we're really not losing any money because
it's $60 on that Google app. But I mean, it's just because it's a way to like get people, because other people, they a lot of times they just don't want to know about it. Just like me. I didn't want to know about it. I got a book I wouldn't have picked up if I had known. So it was just, for me, it wasn't a way to be like a snarky jerk. It was a way to really try to pull people in and read information that they would not willingly expose themselves to.
Yeah.
So the punch, there's a punchline in there. Our vegan diet obviously didn't really kill us, but Google it, read it.
And it's, and we come from such a terrible place with it all. We want, you know, other creatures to live a good life. We want you to be healthy. You know, it's, when I think back to how I used to think, you know, 3-4 years ago, and, you know, criticized vegans, you know, myself, and thought vegans were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then now where I am today, I'm like, wow, like, it's such a positive message.
Yeah.
It's like, everything about it is positive. It's like, you know, treat other creatures the way you would want to be treated. And it's, that, and it's like...
That sounds familiar.
It does. Some golden rule,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, something about a golden rule or something, yeah. But that's why it has such a like profound impact on people when they do make the change in their life, that's why they become so freaking passionate about
especially
it.
Especially when they first,
and it's a mixture of anger mm-hmm. and like almost being overwhelmed with holy mm-hmm. crap, you know, this, the first 25 years of my life I was lied to and I did this without knowing and everybody told me it was okay. Doctors told me it was healthy. And then like the first like 6 months I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, you can't come from that, you know, place when you approach someone and it takes some time to realize that. But
you really have a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And it is like a paradox because you can't like get it until you've done it.
Yeah. You don't understand until
so how do you do it. How do you get people to do it if they haven't done it yet?
Yeah, like, and then you have like the non-vegan people telling you like, oh, well, you're never going to convert anybody to veganism with what you're doing. And then it's like, well, what would make you go vegan?
Yeah.
And then they're like, I would never go vegan. It's like,
then I mean,
how do you know what to tell somebody?
When you're, for at least for me, it took me getting to a place kind of health-wise and spiritual-wise and personally to see things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was putting kind of the bad in, when I was not thinking about what I was putting in, when I was kind of in like a bad mental state myself,
mm-hmm.
like loving an animal, like fuck that. Right. Like I don't even love myself right now. So there's this whole other, to tie the whole animal thing, it took me getting to a place in my health
mm-hmm.
before I could even open up to that.
Because
like
the
right place with myself before I could even think about it. So two more questions here.
All right.
So to somebody listening to this that, you know, this is kind of new to or they've been following this a little bit and they're interested in, you know, starting to make a change in their life or changing and, you know, taking animal products off their plate or getting their health in order or whatever it is, what's kind of the first step they can take that you guys would recommend to kind of move in the right direction?
Get educated. Because honestly, like behavior change is one thing, but we really have to change the way that we think. You will not be compelled to change your behavior until you really change the way that you think. And I mean, yeah, like make steps while you're learning. Switch out, you know, cow's milk with some kind of plant-based milk of your choosing. So many to choose from. Check out the vegan cheeses. There's many to choose from. I know not everyone likes every one, but they're all very different.
Yeah.
But like the core is that we, you know, animal exploitation and slaughter are unnecessary and avoidable for those of us with access and autonomy over our choices. We live on a street with a small farm, like best possible scenario. But there's so much that people don't know about, like, farming. Even under the best scenarios, it's still very exploitive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a female's reproductive system that's been totally hijacked, that mothers and their offspring. It's not natural. It's all, like, what we've done through years of selective breeding. So I think that's a trap that I just wanted to point that out. A lot of people fall into thinking, well, if it's just a small farm,
it's organic it's done, and grass fed.
Yeah, it's really the same core exploitation is happening. So, like,
educate yourself.
Educate yourself and while you change.
Yeah. On a similar note, while you're kind of learning about all the, you know, the bad stuff that's happening. I don't know why I was in quotes. It's really bad. It's just, I think, just understanding what a vegan diet actually looks like to an actual vegan is completely different than what a vegan diet looks like to a non-vegan. Because, like, if you're a person that eats, like, you know, meat and potatoes in a side salad, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to go vegan, I'll just take the meat off, and now I'm eating potatoes in a side salad, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah,
that
sucks.
And there's so many people that, like, oh, I tried to eat that way for a week, and I just couldn't fill up. I was eating, like, a head of lettuce a day, and, like...
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think we eat?
I was eating ice cubes.
Yeah, so it's like, so if you want to go into it, I think just looking up different food bloggers, like vegan food bloggers, just go on to Instagram, hashtag vegan food,
yeah,
and there, you'll see everything that you could eat.
And follow Eat Plants Drink Beer.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah, that works. but it's just, because if you don't know how to eat the way you want to eat, like to kind of coexist with your morals, like, unfortunately, your survival is going to take precedence over somebody else's survival. Yeah. Because, I mean, unless you're the most altruistic person in the world and is like, I'm going to, you know, just go off into the corner and die so nothing else gets hurt.
No, we don't want that.
No. So it's just one of those, so if you just understanding how to do the thing that you want to do, and you'll succeed.
Yeah,
and, you know, and not just learn about the bad stuff that we were talking about, but learn about all the good, positive aspects of being vegan.
Awesome
community, so many people. Yeah. It really expands your social circle.
Yeah.
And, like, so many amazing restaurants, so many inspiring people, like Olympians and politicians and artists and musicians and all kinds of people. It's really not, like, people sitting around being sad about animal exploitation. It's, like, a lot of positive, so.
Yeah, and that whole thing of, like, avoiding chronic disease is kind of, like,
that
a
whole
slightly
thing is,
big one.
Yeah, kind of big. Kind of big, yeah.
I try to push.
Yeah, it's weird how the worst thing about being vegan is having to take vitamin
B12. Yeah, it's the worst thing.
Really, that's the...
It's such an imposition on my life.
Yeah, like, if you think about the bad things that you have to do... That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
The top
and
of the list.
Non-vegan food is fortified as well. Vitamin A, folic acid, and salt is iodized. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah, totally. All right, so I got one more for you. This podcast is called Eat Green, Make Green. I believe that eating plant-based, you know, living vegan, puts me in the best position, selfishly, to succeed at whatever it is I do. And whatever my goal is at any particular time is kind of how I define the make green portion of that. So I would ask you, what does make green mean to you? What's kind of the main reason why you guys eat green, why you're vegan?
Me? All right. I guess, I mean, you know, you could
is
say...
Is it because I brainwashed you? And,
yes.
What is it? People say, oh, converted you?
Yeah, she converted me. Like, there's... Yeah, exactly. Like, if we get divorced tomorrow, the first thing I'm doing is...
He's getting the pig back out in the
slow
cooker.
The first thing that I'm doing is getting, like, a Beyond Burger and just, like, wallowing in sadness because I lost, you know, the most amazing person that I've ever met. Okay, anyway.
Points, brownie points. It's recorded. It's recorded.
Yep.
No, so for me, I think it's just, like the right thing to do. As in, like, it gives you a green light to go for the rest of your life. Like, it's... It's obviously good for the planet, green. It's the right path to go down. You know, you got a green light. There's nothing that should hold you back to, you know, just to do the right thing. Like, it's a weird thing that, like, because, like, green generally means is a good color. And then why just keep your life as green as you want? Like, eat green vegetables, do the right thing, go down the right path. Like, Is it red meat? No.
Like, red means no. Yeah, green means go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yellow is like, well, yellow lentils. You know, go that way.
Slower, but.
Yeah. But no, so like to me, it's just the idea that it just puts you on the right path and it's the right way forward. And just gets the green light to open up your life on so many different levels.
Mm. Love that.
Beautiful, babe.
What about you?
See, now I had time to think about it. Oh. So. I mean, I would say, like, if, how would I word this? Now I can't word it. Like, it would be harder convincing somebody who hadn't been indoctrinated into, you know, animal exploitation to exploit animals and to eat them, like, than it would be to stop, I think. You know, it's so much what we've been taught to do, what we've been conditioned to do, and what is the social norm. And mm-hmm. So you really have to step outside of that. And that it takes strength to do that, you know, it takes, you have to really kind of put yourself out there to do that. And so like, just, you know, be comfortable with, kind of going against the grain. Our culture values individuality. We say like, you know, don't just like follow the herd. Like, would you jump off a cliff just because everyone else is? And this really, going vegan really epitomizes that. We're just aligning our actions with the values that we already have. It's not vegan values. It's just human values to avoid harm. And so it's just really just kind of like reversing to, hey, if I could start over, would I really be hurting others even though I don't have to? Mm. And the answer is probably no. Unless you're sadistic, you're probably just dissociated.
Yeah.
You know, people who slaughter animals are... desensitized, but most of us have just dissociated. So it's really just a matter of kind of, you know, going back to what would you do if you could really, if you hadn't been indoctrinated into this, making these choices. Mm. And that's what being green means to me.
I love it. And you can drink beer.
And you can still drink beer.
Oh, yeah.
Although you should check barnivore.com for beers technically if you're going to
shave.
Yeah.
They use bone... something.
No,
what are they?
Gelatin. Or, yeah.
But you can just check
fish bladders, but yeah. Honey, if they throw that in there, lactose. Mm. But,
yeah.
Things that you don't need in beer.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Yeah,
this
thank
was
you.
Really fun.
Thank you.
For those that are interested in adopting a plant-based lifestyle, you're in luck. That's what I do. I work with men and women all over the world to adopt this lifestyle, to heal inflammation, to get off their medications, and treat their health at the source, which is with diet and lifestyle. My program called 7 Weeks for the Rest of Your Life is designed to teach you exactly how to transition into a healthier lifestyle. And I give you all the tools, all the resources, everything you need to adopt this lifestyle and apply it to your life for years to come. For more information on my course, pop over to eatgreenmakegreen.com/coaching. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Have a great week.